Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statler, with you on this 14th day of May, 2019. And I am having Sam screen a clip here. I want to set this up. After talking with Jeff, I decided I'm gonna play this because there's one thing that I don't do anymore, or very little of it, because I don't find humor in a lot of things, especially things that are supposed to be funny, like sitcoms and movies. Hollywood is cranking out tons and tons of comedies, but they're not funny. I mean, they're really not funny. The last time I went to a movie theater and watched a comedy was My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I laughed myself silly. That and the Tim Allen one, was it Tim Allen? That was a spoof on Star Trek. Now, that was funny. But anymore, the humor is just not there. It's all been politicized, or the joke is spinning off of something political that is chafing you the wrong way. Any rate, you've got about another 2 minutes on that. I got enough time to squeeze this story in. Gutsy attorney brings us up to date on a unique lawsuit against the SPLC. These are dark times for freedom-loving people all across the Western world. This is especially true if their values tend toward national unity. Suspicion of intrusive government and revulsion toward fake news and the media orchestrated smear campaigns. When the night is dark, we must navigate by the stars. Each of you who has donated to my lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center is a star. I'm sincerely grateful for your support. This is Glenn Allen. My lawsuit has proceeded very much as I anticipated. I was certain that the SPLC would file a motion to dismiss all my claims, and that's what it has done. I was prepared for it, and I have opposed it vigorously. The briefing on the motion is now complete, and we await the court's decision. If the motion to dismiss is denied, even in part, my case will proceed to discovery, i.e., documented requests and depositions, which should be extremely interesting, given the recent scandals of the SPLC. If the motion is granted, I will appeal to the Fourth Circuit. Either way, I'll need your continued financial support against the SPLC, and it's become such a blight on freedom in our country. Now, that's the update on this. Sam, is that fairly clean? Well, okay. Well, we're just going to run it. And for the purpose here of clarity, Vicki Lawrence doesn't even know if this episode aired, and I'm talking about the outtake, and she didn't know if it aired. So they're having this discussion, And this is kind of setting this clip up so you understand. If you have not heard it and you've not seen it, I'm going to break the cardinal rule here today. And she doesn't use the term asshat. But bear with us, folks. Send the children out of the room. Or if you're really upset by that word, I heard Gutfield on Fox News use it the other day. And he broke it up. He says, now put the two words together. At any rate, go ahead and play the Vicki Lawrence piece. Yes, the interview.
Well, because we have that live to tape feel, did you try to stop from, you know, cracking up, or did you have, you know, did you bite your lip, or did you just kind of go with the flow? How did you do it yourself?
Well, when I was young, I was too mortified. You know, and we talked about that. I just didn't feel like I had really earned the privilege to do that. So I would keep it together because I didn't feel it was my place. And I was really not even sure what they were doing. I was still learning. So it took me well into that run to embrace the go ahead and have fun with it concept.
Tell me about the sketch you did, the mama sketch, where you were basically, you and Tim Comey, you were bleeped. What was... that about?
What, are you talking about the famous blooper?
Yes, I think so.
Which has had a life of its own, the famous. It was Dick Clark's favorite blooper for years and years and years. And I've said to the kids, you guys, I should have started the college fund with the money from that blooper, because he just plays it over and he played it over
well,
and
Dick
over
Dick Clark
over
did it?
Years.
Okay, I guess I can do it.
It was really the first time that Mama spoke out, I believe, and it unleashed a monster, God knows. But when we would do our afternoon show, the dress rehearsal, mm-hmm. and in between shows, you'd have time to get touched up, get a little snack if you needed it, and get notes from the director. So Dave Powers, our director, he would come by the dressing room somewhere during that hour and say, we're changing your mark in the dance number. We are cutting this line in this sketch. I need you to look directly into camera one on this. You know, so you'd get your notes. Right. On this particular night, the night that we did that particular sketch, he knocked on my door. He said, I have only one note. The elephant story will be different, and good luck. And now by now I am married to Al. He's the makeup man on the show. I said, damn it, you know, how does Tim get away with this stuff? And Al looked at me and he said, get him. So I don't know. I don't know if it's Tim's fault. Maybe it's Al's fault that monster was unleashed. Anyway, we get to that taping. And Carol, you know, when Mickey Hart was a character in the family, he was Harvey's partner at the hardware store. And when Mickey Hart got written into the sketches, Carol, knowing Tim and knowing what a little troublemaker he was, took us aside and said, listen, I feel very strongly about these characters. I do not want to break the fourth wall. We have got to stay disciplined. I really, really feel strongly about this. Well, so who loses it? Who loses it during the dress rehearsal and is in my face with tears coming down her eyes trying to stifle her laughter? And it's, you know, the whole concept is we're playing Password. And she keeps putting the thing under my nose going, go ahead, Mama, go ahead. And she's a mess. So I get the note during the break that the elephant story is going to be different and good luck. And Al says, get him. Well, we got to that same spot, and indeed the elephant story was much longer and more convoluted, and Carol loses it again. And I'm just like, really, Carol?
Pause.
Really?
Pause. Now, what you're not going to have the opportunity to see, because it's the clip that I'm going to play, visually, it's actually, they shoot the scene, and then they're cracking up so badly, they've got to shoot it again. So Carol Burnett says to Tim Conway, right at the start of the second take of this, says to him, no elephant stories. He starts out the first story with, there were these two elephants in this circus. And that was the first story. Okay, they had the cut, they had to redo the scene, and she tells him, no more elephant jokes. And he goes, okay, so he doesn't tell the circus elephant jokes. No, he tells the, I forget exactly what it was, the freak show, that's what it was. He starts to tell the freak show story involving elephants. Okay, run the balance of that.
You're the one who said, and she's in my face, and she's going, go ahead, Mama. So I decided to get Tim, and I said, are you sure that little asshole's finished? And for those people who do remember that sketch, Tim went off one end of the sofa. It was the last season. It's Dick Van Dyke that went off the end of the other end of the sofa. I think the cameras were jiggling. I think everybody was just, I don't know if they were relieved that Vicky had finally cut loose or, yeah.
Yeah. So did that air in a bleeped format?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't remember.
I thought that maybe it did, but...
I don't remember.
But it's had a life on its own, certainly in the blooper show.
It has had a total life of its own.
All right. Now, in tribute to Tim Conway, you made millions of people laugh, and you will be missed. You know, one of the real comedians. And here is a guy that most of his comedy was ad-libbed. You know, we saw a little bit of that with Chevy Chase. You know, he was funniest when he was just being Chevy Chase and being funny. At any rate, do you have the pod open there? Here is the Carol Burnett Show outtakes, which have been viewed, oh, I don't know, some 25 million times.
See, this elephant had this little dwarf trainer, and... ballerina skirt on that elephant. I go around in a circle and go, woo! Like that. That's why I thought it was so laughable at the time. There's a rumor going around the circus that dwarf and the elephant were lovers.
Now, you can't see it, but Carol Burnett has got her face in her hands. She can't even breathe. Now, Conway is sitting right next to her, not cracking a smile. Everybody's got their face down because everybody's laughing except Conway. And now you hear the audience, right? And he drags this thing out.
Oh, they had to shoot the elephant. I don't know whether it's because of rumor or not, but they're buried together. Tombstone.
All right, now Carol Burnett at this point loses it. She starts slapping Conway because they really need to get the scene down and get it taped. All right, now here's no more elephant stories. Well, it wasn't the circus elephant. It was the freak show elephants this time around.
Guess it's not elephant time.
No.
Just a... I was at this freak show one time, and I saw these Siamese elephants.
Thank you.
was joined at the end. Joined at the end of their trunks like that. And this trainer make them stand up on their back feet like that, and they had their trunk stretched like that. Then this little monkey would come out. Walk out there and dance a merengue right out there. I kind of felt sorry for them. They couldn't go like the other elephants when they go. All they could do is just blow and go,
snort it.
One that sneezes, the other's eyes get real big.
You can't fake funny. Two of those people are still alive, Carol Burnett and Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke is in his 90s, I guess, 92 or something. But at any rate, our memories may fail, but video, I guess, is forever. It's only been seen 25 million times. And if you've not seen it, listening to it is one thing. But, you know, it isn't like who's on first. You got Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. You didn't have to see their exchange. You didn't have to look at their facial expressions. You could hear what they were doing, and it was funny. But this, about half of it's missing. So go to the website. Comedian Tim Conway of The Carol Burnett Show dies at 85. You know, never to be made again. These are people that, well, we all have this one go-around in life, don't we, folks? Yes. And then after that, then we don't. All right, on to some more serious things here. It just hit me. You know, we don't ever laugh. I don't know whether we're afraid to laugh or if we laugh, it might crack our face and our face fall off our skull. I don't know. But I don't find a whole lot of things funny anymore. It just ain't. Tech Dirt came out with a story I'm glad to see. They report here, we've noted repeatedly that if you're upset about Facebook's privacy scandals, you should be equally concerned about the wireless industry's ongoing location data scandals. And, gee, thank you, Mr. Snowden, you're on the most wanted list here in America. For blowing the whistle on the government and all of its data and tracking and tracing and all that other stuff. At any rate, you should be equally concerned about the wireless industry's ongoing location data scandals. Not only were the major carriers caught selling your location data to any nitwit with a checkbook, they even found to be selling your E911 location data, which provides even more granular detail about how your data than GPS provides more. This data was then found to have been widely abused from everybody from law enforcement to randos pretending to be law enforcement. I don't get the randos reference here, but at any rate. Throughout all of this, Ajit Pai, the FCC chairman, has done absolutely nothing to seriously police the problem. Meaning that while carriers have promised to stop collecting and selling this data, nobody has bothered to force carriers to actually confirm this. Now, given telecom's history when it comes to consumer privacy, somebody might just want to double-check their math. compounding carrier problems, all four major wireless carriers last week were hit with a class action lawsuit, noting that the carriers had violated Section 222 of the Federal Communications Act by selling consumer proprietary network information, or what they called a CPNI data. Through its negligent and deliberate acts, including inexplicable failures to follow its own privacy policy, T-Mobile permitted access to plaintiffs and class members CPI and CPINI. The complaint against T-Mobile reads, referring to confidential proprietary information and customer proprietary network information, the latter of which includes location data. Now, it's likely that the sale of 9/11 data is where carriers are in the most hot water, since that's their most obvious infraction of the law. It's, of course, worth pointing out that wireless carriers and fixed-line ISPs, frankly, have been hoovering up on and selling location, clickstream, and a vast ocean of other user data for decades with very few, if any, restrictions. Now, congressional lawmakers, much caring about it, without them much caring about it, it's another example of how Facebook's cavalier treatment of user data and government apathy towards meaningful solutions isn't just some errant exception. It's the norm. Back in 2016, the previous FCC uncharacteristically tried to impose some pretty basic rules that would have gone a long way in preventing these location data scandals by requiring the carriers be more transparent about what the data is collected and who it's sold to. Well, okay, that's yelling at the horse after he's bolted the barn, isn't it? What data is collected and who it's sold to? It shouldn't be collected and shouldn't be sold, period. It also required consumers opt into more sensitive, read that financial location data, but telecom lobbyists quickly convinced Congress to obliterate those rules in 2017 using the Congressional Review Act before they could even take effect. Then 2 years later, we find the sector swimming in scandal, and everybody has a dumb look on their faces, just utterly perplexed as to how we got to this point. Well, we got to this point because Mark Zuckerhead was lying about deplatforming people, about data collection. Seriously, I mean, if we did not have whistleblowers that come out and said this, the majority of the population of this country wouldn't know it. Now, for those that are still using these platforms and posting all their information, and I mean all their information, you're dumb clucks. You know, you deserve sometimes getting what you get. But the point is that this whole internet game that they're playing right now is liars hate the truth, folks. They just, it's abhorrent. They absolutely hate it. Of which I'm very pleased, by the way. Eric in Tennessee. Hello, Eric.
John, I got some more humor for you.
Uh-oh.
Look up Victor Borga.
I've seen it.
He was, you seen him?
I've seen the clip of which you're going to refer.
No, I'm not referring to any particular clip. He has a whole bunch of clips out there. But he was an incredible pianist. And and he would play games with orchestras and whatever. And so that's what he did. I will look him up, and you may want to play some of his clips online.
Well, I've broken character today. Have you ever heard me play any comedy clips whatsoever? I'm not going to make a habit of doing it. Victor Borga, he's dead. He's died a long time ago, but Tim Conway just passed on yesterday. So kind of like a tribute. And you can't really do this with any other people out there because they've got a long laundry list. This guy was known as being a comedian, and that's what he did best was comedy. At any rate. Yeah. All right, Eric.
Anyway, just look him up and maybe play a clip or two from time to time.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Ain't gonna do it.
Okay. Well, you do what you want to do. You ain't going to listen to me.
Well, okay, Eric. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Who is Tulsi Gabbard? Gabbard says she'd drop all the charges against Assange and Snowden. And this is a long interview. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. But Caitlin Johnson did this via Medium.com. And she writes, in the midst of an interesting and wide-ranging discussion on the Joe Rogan Experience, Democratic Congresswoman and presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard said that if elected president, she would drop all charges against NSA whistleblower Ed Snowden and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. What would you do about Julian Assange, Joe Rogan asked. What would you do about Edward Snowden, Rogan asked in the latter part of the episode. And her response was, as far as dropping the charges, if you're president of the world right now, what do you do? Yeah, dropping the charges, Gabbard replied. Now, Rogan noted that Sweden's preliminary investigation of rape allegations has just been reopened. Well, not just. That was a couple of months ago, and it's dying its slow death again. Because guess what? Julian Assange wasn't a closet pervert. Saying the U.S. government can't stop that, and Gabbard said as president she dropped the U.S. charges leveled against Assange by the Trump administration. Yeah, Gabbard said when asked to clarify if she was also saying that she'd give Edward Snowden a presidential pardon, adding this, and I think we've got to address why he did the things the way he did them. And you hear the same thing from Chelsea Manning, how there is not an actual channel for whistleblowers like them to bring forward information that exposes egregious abuses of our constitutional rights and liberties, period. That was not a channel for that to happen in a real way, and that's why they ended up taking the path that they did and suffering the consequences. Now, this came in a lengthy discussion about WikiLeaks and the dangerous legal precedent that the Trump administration is setting for press freedoms by prosecuting Assange, as well as the revelations about NSA surveillance and what could be done to roll back those unchecked surveillance powers. What happened with Assange's arrest and all the stuff that just went down, I think, poses a great threat to our freedom of the press and to our freedom of speech, Gabbard says. We look at what happened under the previous administrations under Obama. You know, they were trying to find ways to go after Assange and WikiLeaks, but ultimately they chose not to seek to extradite him or charge him because they recognized what a slippery slope that begins when you have a government in a position to levy criminal charges and consequences against someone who's publishing information or saying things that the government doesn't want you to say, and sharing information the government doesn't want you to share. And so the fact that Trump administration has chosen to ignore that fact, to ignore how important it is that we uphold our freedoms, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, and go after him, it is a chilling effect on both journalists and publishers. Millions, by the way, folks, worldwide are watching this. And you can look to those in traditional media and also those in media and also every one of us as Americans. It was kind of a warning call saying, look, what happened to this guy? It could happen to you. It could happen to any one of us. Now, she also talked about Mike Pompeo's his arbitrary designation of WikiLeaks as a hostile non-state intelligence service. The fact that James Clapper lied to Congress about the NSA surveillance as Director of National Intelligence, yet suffered no consequences and remains a respected TV pundit now, and the opaque and unaccountable nature of the FISA warrants. Some other noteworthy parts of Gabbard's appearance for people who don't have time to watch the whole thing. Rogan gets Gabbard talking in depth about the Bashar al-Assad was actually like when she'd met him and what he said to her, which I don't think I've ever seen anybody bother to do before. A little bit more on this when we get back. Much more news and information. Chance, I'll also take your calls and others when we return.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong.
You look 16 tons. When was that song done? 1955. We jumped in Sherman's Wayback Machine here. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Yeah, hello, John. I don't want to break your momentum with your, but that was a pleasant surprise when you played that skit, because I grew up on that kind of TV.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've seen how it changed. It's pathetic. Woman, for example. I'll show a woman all sexed up with a short skirt and all the cleavage showing, but she'll be so cold and emotionless. It's like they're appealing to a dominatrix or something. In other words, yeah. No femininity.
Yeah.
You know, like our mamas had that made our daddies proud to be with them. No femininity, no ladylike manner. Have you noticed that over the years, too?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Chance. What there's a network out there, INSP, it's short for Inspiration Network, and it's really a religious channel, but kind of only overnight and on Sundays. But they've got the series The Virginian, High Chaparral, Bonanza. What's the other one with Oh, gosh.
Wagon Train.
Wagon Train, but the other one with Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh, I can't think of it. Big Valley.
Big Valley. And this is what I watch. If I don't watch a movie, that's the TV that I watch. I refuse.
Me too, on DVD.
I refuse to watch anything. I could, for the life of me, Chance, if you put a gun to my head right now, I couldn't tell you what's on television right now. I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't either. Yeah. I got rid of the TV a long time ago. I couldn't take it no more. You know what? You want to laugh, John? You remember all those judge shows, the court shows?
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed something. I brought this out to everybody because people just aren't perceptive. I said, if you notice with each and every judge court show, if it's a white male judge, you'll have a black female bailiff. If it's a black male judge, you'll have a white female bailiff.
Well, it's just the interest. Chance, that's just.
If it's a white female judge, there'll be a black male bailiff. I said, what is the purpose of this? I mean, it's so
silly. It's just balancing things out, that's all.
I know, but they went a little overboard to the point where it's so damn silly, John. I mean, is it that important, really?
By the way, one thing I noticed with Arness when he did Gunsmoke for, umpteen years, I was kind of shocked he played a federal marshal. Marshal Dalen. Yeah, he played a federal marshal, but some of the stuff that he did as law enforcement in that show, it was stunning because he violated the Constitution 65 different ways from Sunday.
And did you know his brother was Peter Graves from Mission Impossible?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah, they're both gone now. I think James Arness. I don't know which one died first. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just, thank God for video, because it'll be with us. It'll be with us forever.
I have such a large collection of growing up in the 60s and 70s. Remember the variety shows. Now these comedians, what I've noticed, especially the young ones, they have to rely on anger and vulgarity.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have the cleanest mouth around you. I got to check myself at times. But when you're a comedian, when you have to rely on vulgarity just to get a laugh, something is wrong.
That's what was so funny about the Carol Burnett thing, because here was meek little Vicki Lawrence, is only on the show for the second year out of its 11-year run, and she just didn't think that she could ad-lib or do anything, but that was the extent of the dirtiness of TV back in the 70s.
Right.
And when I heard that Dick Clark would run that on the famous blooper show that he did, I thought, well, okay, we'll do it.
Is Vicki Lawrence still alive, by the way?
Yes, she is. Alive and kicking.
She had a recording career for a while. She made that song, I remember, when I was, I don't know how old I was. I was young. The night the lights went out in Georgia, it became a hit on the radio.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you're bringing back a lot of memories, John. You have to do that every once in a while to keep us sane.
To let us know that we're not in Dementiaville.
I can't look at TV.
That we actually do remember. Chance, I got to cut you loose.
No problem. Bye-bye now. God bless.
All right. By the way, the one thing that I wanted to bring to your attention about when Joe Rogan was talking to Tulsi Gabbard, they were talking in depth about what Bashar al-Assad was actually like when she met him and what he said to her, which I don't think I've ever seen anybody bother to do before. And the two discussed what partially they were talking about, Eisenhower's famous speech warning of the dangers of the military-industrial complex, and actually paused their dialogue to watch a good portion of it. And Gabbard pointed out that in the original draft of the speech, Eisenhower had intended to call it the Congressional Military-Industrial Complex, not just the Military-Industrial Complex. But here he was, Eisenhower setting the way, and John F. Kennedy came in on the heels of Eisenhower. Eisenhower was warning everybody about the, Congressional/Military-Industrial Complex. But Kennedy, when he was assassinated, the face of politics changed in this country. It changed forever. At any rate. I am kind of shocked that Tulsi Gabbard, she is a Democrat, isn't she? I think she is. This is one of the few stories that I've read that doesn't designate if they're Republican or Democrat, but I think she's Democrat. If not, I think Donald Trump should hire her as being vice president in 2020. Oh, yes. Let me see here. Oh, here's a little update about 1 year in the educating engineers across the U.S. about 9/11. AE911truth.org. The relentless push by the architects and engineers for 9/11 truth for a new investigation into the destruction of the three World Trade Center towers has opened a promising new front over the past year thanks to volunteers' efforts than more than 40 engineers. They have not quit. In May of last year, AE911truth launched a bold initiative called Project Due Diligence, aimed at engaging and educating the nation's civil and structural engineers. The project is spearheaded by the AE 911 Truth Board members, Roland Engel, who has made it his mission to galvanize America's engineering community to restore the professional and scientific credibility it lost after 9/11. Civil engineer Roland Engel speaks at the first presentation of Project Due Diligence in April of 2018 at the Marines Memorial Association in San Francisco. Engel is a civil engineer who was trained in the use of explosives. While in the U.S. Army, he has joined other AE 911 Truth members to create a PowerPoint presentation called A Critique of the NIST WCT Building Failure Reports and the Progressive Collapse Theory. The presentation outlines the many errors, omissions, and false premises contained in the original reports, which were published by the National Institute of Standards and Technology and endorsed by the American Society of Civil Engineers. The PDD presentation also cites major errors in the Progressive Collapse Theory, in which he submitted to the ASCE, that being the Society for Civil Engineers, just 2 days after 9/11, and was published in their Journal of Engineering Mechanics just a few months later. AE 911 Truth takes the position that the ASCE leadership performed unethically from the start of the official investigation. In addition to failing to protest the illegal removal of debris, that being the physical evidence, this is a crime scene, folks. And what do? Well, they're not in there for the bodies. They're in there simultaneously scooping up the stuff along with the, well, yeah, the human remains. Got to get rid of it. They shipped it all to China and melted it down. Now, said that the ASCE leadership performed unethically from the start of the official investigation. In addition to failing to protest the illegal removal of debris from the World Trade Center crime scene, the ASCE continues to suppress scientific challenges to the data and methodology used by both the NIST analysis, which misrepresents the building collapse mechanisms. Now, Engel and his team maintain that it's professional duty of engineers to become familiar with the official reports endorsed by the profession's most publicly visible organization and to assess the merit of any challenges to those reports. It is incumbent upon engineers, they argue, to carefully review all discourse on these catastrophic building failures in order to ensure public safety and uphold U.S. engineering standards. Now, it's a foregone conclusion because 9/11 was the way the official story, according to the government, that's the way it was, and we're not reviewing anything. Sound familiar? Kind of like the Kennedy thing and the Warren Report. Of course, all those witnesses can't be called now because they were killed off or they died of old age. Most of them killed off. But it's the same type of scenario. Global warming. Here's another one. Shows that I'm seeing on cable, and these are from the History Channel and the likes. When you watch it and they talk about anything that has to do with the climate, climate change is presented as a foregone conclusion. Now, there are more people that are in a position to know and have the education to know better. There are more of these people out here going, wait a minute, this global warming thing is a hoax. But if you watch their narratives, this is all foregone conclusion. Just like Kennedy, the Warren Report, well, that was factual, and Lee Harvey killed the president, and there was only one shooter, and that was it. 9-11. No, those buildings collapsed because two airplanes hit them. Of course, they never mentioned the other building, Building 7. Oh, that's right, a fire brought that one down. But there's their narrative. They put that stuff out there and refuse to even entertain anything else. In the meantime, they'll be running back-channel propaganda crap like nobody's business. Folks, tell you what, the internet dies in this country, so does your shot of ever getting this republic back. Because the majority of you right now are listening by way of what? The internet. I want to encourage you, and we'll dig up the information one day this week and I'll put it out. Y'all need to get a satellite box. You really do. These things are cheap. A couple of $100, dish, comes with a receiver. This ain't internet. You download it directly from a bird. Well, yeah, I know. You're going to say, well, aren't they going to take that down too? Well, eventually. But it's the internet that's going to go first. Hopefully you're not deplatformed on the phone that you're listening to right now. But they have done that as well. I've had many complaints over the years. Well, I used to listen to you by way of the phone, and now my phone company retracted its unlimited minutes. Well, you were using your minutes to listen to RBN, weren't you? Yeah. Yeah. So, pushback, folks. I will not get this out of my head. Pushback. I don't care if it's engineers pushing back against 9/11. I don't care if it's somebody at a city council going, wait a minute, you just called us a what, a democracy? I don't care. You've got to interrupt. What this does is it hits the emergency reset button in people's brains. These lies that are spewed over and over and over and over again, that is for a reason. That is to soften your thinking. That is to program you. So when you hear it again, just when you hear, oh, the alternative media, oh, the alt-right, oh, those are a bunch of anti-government people. Au contraire, I'm very much in favor of the United States government the way it used to be before we got the New States Constitution or the New Constitution of 1871. Yeah, Lincoln was a lawyer, and he shouldn't have been president because he had a title of nobility. Oops. But of course, that's why the time period film, the movie Lincoln, Mr. Lincoln, we need a 13th Amendment. No, we already had one. Sorry. They were hoping in the fog of war that people's memories were wiped out. Well, some enterprising and doggedly, so people went out there and dug up that original 13th Amendment. And I happen to have one of the original pocket constitutions, folks. How valuable is this? From 1860, that actually spells out what the original 13th Amendment was. That's right. Couldn't be a lawyer, titles of nobility, that sort of thing. Can't be a representative in the government. Now everybody we got in government's got a damn law degree, along with the propaganda campaign out there we call the news media. These people aren't steeped in journalism degrees. They're steeped in lawyer degrees. Why is that? The corporation has to protect itself. That's why. Ye gads and little fishes, as my aunt used to say. You used to say a lot of things, but that was one of the few things I remember. At any rate. States. I'm glad to see this. This stuff just happens and nobody knows how it happens, but it just happens. Lawsuit by 44 states accuses pharma giants of multi-year conspiracy. Oh, there's that word. To hike drug prices by over 1,000%. Source on the story, Common Dreams, they write a far-reaching lawsuit filed Friday by the attorneys general of more than 40 states accused some of the nation's largest generic drug manufacturers of conspiring to inflate prices in some cases by over 1,000%. We have hard evidence that shows the generic drug industry perpetrated a multi-billion dollar fraud on the American people, Connecticut Attorney General William Tong, whose state led the probe in the company's practices, he said in a statement. Teva and its co-conspirators embarked on one of the most egregious and damaging price-fixing conspiracies in the history of the United States. We have emails, text messages, telephone records, and former company insiders that we believe will prove a multi-year conspiracy to fix prices and divide market share for huge numbers of generic drugs. According to Tong, remember, generic drugs is what we used to ask the pharmacists for rather than the brand name ones. Well, guess what? Yeah, the fix is in on that as well. The suit names 20 major drug manufacturers, including Pfizer, Teva, Novartis, and Mylan, never heard of them, as well as more than a dozen senior executives who the complaint accuses of deleting evidence after the states began their investigation 5 years ago, back in 2014. The industry-wide scheme affected the prices of more than 100 generic drugs, the New York Times reported Saturday, including HIV treatment, asthma medication, high cholesterol, amphetamine something for ADHD, oral antibiotics, blood thinners, cancer drugs, contraceptives, antidepressants. Americans pay far more for prescription drugs than people of any other industrialized country. Alluding to this fact, Colorado Attorney General Phil Wisner, who joined the multi-state lawsuit, tweeted out on Saturday, "If you're angry about rising drug prices, you should be, particularly because a major cause of price increases is illegal collusion by generic drug companies." Now, these are bold statements. These are suable statements, but they're not going to get sued because they're right. Well, that's never really been a reason not to counter with a lawsuit, but it's generally one that you will lose. Right, PG&E? Right. As the Washington Post reported, the 465-page lawsuit accuses drug company executives of coordinating consistently to obstruct government investigations into drug prices, including after Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat out of Maryland, and Senator Bernie Sanders launched a probe into generic drug pricing in 2014. See, the Democrats can do something when they really want to. But they also wanted you to sign up for Obamacare, too, right? Apparently unsatisfied with the status quo of the fair share and the mere avoidance of price erosion, Teva and its co-conspirators embarked on one of the most egregious and damaging price-fixing conspiracies in the history of the United States, states the complaint. And who drew up the Affordable Care Act? It was the insurance companies. Big surprise. Harley in Indiana. Hello, Harley.
Oh, John, I just wanted to comment real quick that I was pricing tires this afternoon, and the guy told me that the tire industry does the same thing. And I was talking about, you know, somebody else, what they wanted to charge me, and he goes, well, you understand that we have an agreement between us that, you know, we won't cut each other's throat, that we maintain the price so high, so there's no, you know, nobody cuts somebody's throat and you get it real cheap.
Oh, so the discount tire pricing out there is just a scam?
Well, he mentioned them, too.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. I was upset with what I paid. I called up, got a price for something, ordered it, you know, a month later, and ended up paying $60 more than what I was told out the door.
Because they weren't going to undercut the other guys.
Well, no, the excuse was the computer was down, and he didn't know what to charge me, and I had to have him because my tire went flat every 6 hours, and I had a couple hundred miles to drive.
No, he wasn't going to, I'll say it again. He wasn't going to undercut the competition because they have a kind of an unspoken agreement.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John, I didn't catch up, but yes.
Yeah.
They have an unspoken agreement that they will not cut the price for the company, you know.
Well, and notice something. I can remember you could buy tires and, you know, discontinued lines. Now, discontinued lines serve a problem because say that you buy a set of four tires from a tire company and you put them on your car and they're guaranteed. Something happens to one of the tires and you go to replace it. Guess what you can't get? The exact same replacement to match the other three tires. So then you have a choice. Put an oddball tire on it with kind of a similar tread pattern or replace all four of them. Now, who the hell's going to do that? So you end up with a mismatched tire on your car. But even those prices on these closeouts, they're really not closeouts at all.
Oh, no. He made the comment about the warranty bit, too, that, you know, it's like pulling a molar tooth to get anything out of the warranty for your tire.
Well, I'm going...
You don't want to back it.
I'm going through an instance right now with a fence company. Lowe's was one of the proprietary dealers of these people's vinyl fencing. I put this fence up over 10 years ago, and it's a lifetime guarantee. There's only one problem. That's a vinyl fence, and down here in Texas, the sun do shine, and it has a tendency to make plastic very brittle. And what started happening with these damn fence, between the fence post and the actual panels, they had little plastic, little attach-me things. And they started to dry out and crack and break when the wind started blowing. Well, I kind of got a shock and went to Lowe's and I said, okay, what about the warranty on this? Well, we can prorate the fence, but we can't replace anything because the company no longer manufactures that color of fence. I said, so isn't this interesting? You give me a lifetime transferable warranty that's prorated, but in order to make the warranty good, you've got to give me mismatched panels and colors of a fence? How the hell is that supposed to work?
Yeah, or maybe they'll give you one panel and you got to buy all the rest to make it match.
Well, and I heard this prorated thing, and I said, well, that's very, very interesting. I said, weren't these companies, or you, Lowe's, smart enough to figure out that putting up vinyl fencing in hell isn't gonna be a very good idea, because it gets hot down here in Texas in the desert Southwest.
Well, they use it up here around horse fences. I can't understand why, because I personally took care of racehorses and I watched a horse snap a solid inch, like, you know, a 6-inch by 1-inch thick board in half in a heartbeat. I mean, I went out to get him, and I reached up for his head. He just also reached down and grabbed that board and just snapped it like it was a toothpick.
All right, Harley.
I'm
out of time, sir. I thank you for your call.
All right. Yeah, bye.
All righty. Remember, Jeff Bennett, his number is 602-799-8214. Yes, Jeff Bennett is still alive and well in Arizona. Give him a call. He had a hell of a deal today. Hell of a deal. Give him a call. Thanks for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RB.